The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Well, now, Jess Kelly is here and we're going to talk about a number of things. You have embraced the Apple experience.
I have. So for a very, 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 very long time, my personal preference has always been Android devices. It's something that's been well covered on this programme and others. I have previously been an iPhone user. I think the last iPhone I owned was an iPhone 6. And then I moved away for a number of reasons. But recently I was due an upgrade on my own bill plan. So I decided on a whim to go for the iPhone 11. So it's the iPhone 11, 128 gig, and it was a few hundred euro based on my bill plan. So it will vary depending on how much you pay. And that was in December, and we're now what, towards the end of January, and I'm still on it.
So you like it?
I tolerate it. I wouldn't go as far as to say I like it. There are a few things that I really like. Firstly, the gesture control. So when you're jumping from app to app, the removal of the home button is incredible. I know it was gone since the iPhone 10, but this is my first iPhone without it because, as I said, my previous one was an iPhone 6. The battery life is incredible. For such a long time, people had this notion that iPhone batteries were rubbish. The iPhone 11 is pretty incredible. The setup was very pain-free. So you log in with your Apple ID, or if you hadn't previously owned an iPhone or had iTunes, you can create one. The only issue that I had in my setup, and it's a weird one, was WhatsApp. When I move from Android phone to Android phone, as I'd often do when I'm reviewing devices, you just log in with your number and all of your stuff is backed up. For some weird reason, moving from WhatsApp on Android to WhatsApp on iOS meant I was sacrificing my messages. So I still have all the ones from Android backed up to my Google Cloud, but I can't access them on the phone. The facial recognition and the face unlock on iPhone is incredible. So it scans your face and I can just glance at my phone and it will unlock. The Apple Pay is incredible. Plus, I got an Apple TV subscription, a year-long subscription for free with my new iPhone. So I was delighted with that.
Okay, what you not like?
The lack of a fingerprint scanner. And it drives me insane. Every day I swear at this phone because it doesn't have a fingerprint scanner. It sounds very basic, right? But the facial recognition is excellent, except if you're in low light or if you're a glasses wearing human who usually has their glasses on and then takes them off when they're at home and it doesn't recognise you, or if you look absolutely brutal and it doesn't recognise you. You have to put in your 6-digit PIN. A fingerprint reader would make such a difference.
Camera?
The camera is great, but not sensational. And a lot of people had hyped up the camera on this phone. It is quite good. The portrait mode is nice. But I have to tell you, the camera on the Huawei P30 Pro is far superior.
Now, there are a couple of little niggles.
Tiny little niggly things. And you know, what happened to me as recently as Saturday, there's a shortcut on the phone of the iPhone 11. I think anyone with the latest version of iOS for the torch. And the most natural, whatever way I hold my phone, I am constantly turning the torch on, to the point where on Saturday evening, a guy was saying, like, are you taking a video of this? Because it looked like I was, because the flash was on. It's a small little thing. Another niggle that I have is the notch on the screen is huge, particularly if you're going from one of those Android phones. The notch is sort of the bit at the top of the screen where the selfie camera is. It's quite large. So I do think that that is something that that Apple will need to address on the next time around. But the biggest moan I have, and I know this is a moan fest, but it is the integration between Apple, or the lack of integration between Apple and Google products. So as I've mentioned on this program in the past, I and a lot of people in the country have Google Homes, Google Chromecasts, a lot of those products. And the integration between the two is painful. Very often when I'm at home, if I want to stream something from Netflix on my phone through to my Chromecast, it'll cut off and I'll have to use Apple Stream. It's just very clunky, which is not ideal.
Bottom line then.
Bottom line, the iPhone 11 is the best iPhone that I have used in many years. I've been using it every single day since December. And while I acknowledge that it's good, I do still miss my Samsung Galaxy S10. You know, it's my preference, and it has been, and I stand by it, is Android over Apple, I have to say. For now, we'll see what the iPhone 12
brings. You're wearing the Apple Watch, not the latest incarnation. Why not?
I did a lot of research about this. So I'm wearing the Apple Watch 3. At the moment, the latest Apple Watch you can get is the Apple Watch 5. Did a fair bit of research when I was considering buying one. Apple 5 has some different features. The screen is slightly bigger, so the rim around the screen is sort of less present than it is on the 3. There's a better heart monitor and there is fall detection. They were the key differences. But there was over £200 in the price difference.
So you're not going to go there?
I'm not going to go there. So for €239, I bought myself an Apple Watch 3. And the reason I bought it was because Apple do this brilliant thing where they make it so easy for you to see how much time you're spending on your phone. And everyone's going to roll their eyes to the baby Jesus when I say this, but I was spending about 10 hours on my phone a day. That's a lot. Now, again, I use my phone a lot for work. Since buying the Apple Watch, that's down to around 3 hours, 45 minutes, which is significant. Out of all of the wearables that I've tried, in terms of productivity, this is the best. I can do things like my emails. I can get my OneNote, which is where I store all of my documents, read my messages, reply to messages. It's a fitness tracker, sleep tracker, a whole host of different things that are just an absolute joy to interact with as the day goes on. Battery life isn't sensational. This is something that you and I have spoken about.
But you're quite a heavy user.
I am a very heavy user. So I am charging every second day pretty much. But again, I'm getting a hell of a lot of productivity out of the device.
All right, well, that's your verdict. You're going to stick with it for a little while until something else might come along. So we have a number of questions coming in. Jess, trying to up my exercise, walking this year. Sometimes bringing the iPhone is cumbersome. If I buy an iPhone watch, does the phone still needs to come with me to register the steps? Does the phone need to be in the range of the watch to operate? That's from Yvonne in Kildare.
Okay, no, you don't have to bring your phone with you. If you get an Apple Watch, you can just wear that. You can store music on it. So if you have Bluetooth headphones, you can just pop your headphones in, go out with your watch. It'll count your steps and then sync back up when you get home.
But it obviously, if your phone rings and you left the phone
you
at
won't
home,
have
you're
that.
Not going to get that.
But it's worth noting that other wearables can function independent of a phone as well. So you don't have to get the Apple Watch. If you just want to start small, you can get a wearable for around £100 and save yourself on the big expense.
I'm giving up on smartphones. I can't and don't think I ever will get to grips with the touchscreen tech. Is there a simple phone I can get that allows me to use WhatsApp for free Wi-Fi calls abroad?
Yes. There are a number of budget devices. Nokia have a few that are button interaction but have 4G enabled, which means you can get things like WhatsApp. The Doro phone, which we've spoken about in the past, the flip one, that can be internet enabled but isn't touchscreen. So there are options out there. The thing I would say to you is very often I would say, look, you know, just read up on it and then you can buy it online if you want. Go into a store and play around with them and interact with them, because the buttons can be a bit of a pain in the face for some people. So go into your local network store or a car phone warehouse and try it out. But yes, there are options there for you.
Looking for advice on buying a new TV, about 40 inch, good for gaming. Should I buy 4K or OLED, QLED, whatever?
There are a lot of numbers and letters flying around when it comes to buying a TV. I would say you can get 4G or 4K and OLED on the one TV. If you look at brands like LG, Samsung and Sony, they often have them all crammed into one. I recently bought a TV. I bought a Samsung QLED and I absolutely love it. I think about 18 months ago, I'd bought an LG OLED, which is very good as well. That has 4K and OLED. So I think go for one that has as much as you can, but you will be dictated by budget, because you could spend anything from £200 right up to 2,000, 4,000, 6,000. So just be mindful of your budget.
Hi Jess, any way I can prevent any over 18 content appearing on my 12-year-old's phone?
There are a few different things that you can do. The first thing I would say is if your child is using a lot of YouTube, and I know so many young people like watching other kids playing with toys on YouTube, there's a version of YouTube called YouTube Kids. And if your child is under the age of 16 or so, they should have this on their phone rather than the main YouTube. If you put your child's phone in parental mode, so Android devices are great for this, you can set up a device in parental mode, which will give you control of the phone. That's another thing to do. You can go down the route of getting something like iKYDZ, I-K-Y-D-Z, which is a modem that plugs into your router and it allows you to control what apps they use. The best port of call, though, and all of the organisations that deal with kids, though, would say open a conversation with your child about their phone. If you do the phone up thing on a Friday, whereby you're allowed to go through the phone and just see what they're doing, see who they're talking to, is probably one of the best courses of action.
Regarding the lack of Touch ID, the fingerprint ID on the iPhone 11, are you not able to use apps, therefore, that need Touch ID?
No, it scans your face.
Scans your face.
Yeah, so a lot of my passwords are now, instead of having to type in the password every time, you enable Face ID and just scans your face.
What antivirus would you recommend for a personal laptop? I use it for internet banking, emails to our accountant, surfing the net. I currently have McAfee Live Safe costing $99.95. Can you recommend anything cheaper?
Yeah, AVG offers a free antivirus software and it does the job just absolutely perfect. You can run it in the background, you can set it up so that it runs once a month and so on, but that would be my recommendation, AVG.
Do you ever worry about the privacy aspect of the Apple Watch? It knows a lot about you.
But so does everyone else. I mean, I don't really mind. To be honest, no, it's not something that I'm worried about. The amount of information that our phones have. Just today, I was downloading a new application onto my computer and it was asking everything from my weight, my height, my date of birth. And I just gave it away. I'm an absolute fool.
You can always lie. Jess, finally, GOMO. Yes. You are doing a phone-in.
Yes, indeed. So on this week's Tech Talk, we are going to put your questions to GOMO. This is the budget mobile network that launched in Ireland last year. A number of people are curious about it. Some people have had their own experiences. So if you have any questions for GOMO, you can email techtalk@newstalk.com and we will get them answered for you. You'll be able to listen to that call-in as a podcast on Friday from noon and on air Saturday from 5 p.m.
Okay, just a remark here. If I have a fingerprint scanner on my phone and I fall asleep with it beside the bed, presumably someone can just rest my finger on the phone and unlock it.
Absolutely.
Why not? Wake up.
Yeah, it's your own fault.
Stop drinking before you go to bed. All right, Jess Kelly, thank you very much for joining us. Now, I want to mention Grow with Aldi is back, supporting small and medium Irish food and drink suppliers entering the retail market. Aldi is giving you the chance to get your product on the shelves of their 140 stores nationwide, and you'll benefit from the Grow with Aldi Supplier Development Programme. Entries are now open for this fantastic opportunity at aldi.ie/grow. So it's going to happen on this show. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff, so stay tuned for more and more details. Now, before we go, Davos, speaking at the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos, the environmental activist Greta Thunberg explained that while general awareness of climate change and its effects was now much higher, this is still just the very beginning of the climate fight.
In one aspect, lots have happened that no one could have predicted. That this has sort of sparked a general awareness and a movement, of course. I mean, of course, it was not only me, but all these many, many young people from many different places pushing together to form this alliance of movements. And, of course, that is a huge step because that, I mean, as I said, people are more generally aware now. It seems like the climate and environment is a hot topic right now, and a lot thanks to young people pushing. But of course, if you see it from another perspective, or pretty much nothing has been done since the global emissions of CO2 has not reduced, and that is of course what we are trying to achieve, among other things. I mean, we're all fighting for the environment and the climate, and if you see it from that aspect, what has concretely been done, I mean, if you see it from a bigger perspective, then basically nothing. So, but that, of course, we had expected. It will require much more than this. This is just the very beginning.
So that's Greta Thunberg. Now, Donald Trump did speak as well. We haven't time to play the clip we had from him, but he had a swipe at the climate activists, including Greta, called them prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. I'm sure you'll hear excerpts from that speech from Donald Trump later on in the programme or in the day on News Talk. Well, that's all we have time for on this show. You can download the new News Talk app if you want to hear more. My thanks to the team, the editor Emer Bradley, producer Owen Brennan, researchers John Casey and Shifra McQueen, broadcast assistant Anne-Marie Kane and Cormac McDonough on sound. But next up is Lunchtime Live with Ciara Kelly.